Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also in the studio with me today. And we're going to take a quick look at politics. VP Joe Biden is pretty much securing the Democrat nomination, it appears, for President of the United States in the 2020 elections. And he is known for his gaffes. In fact, he did very well on Super Thursday.
Super Thursday.
Excuse me, it was Super Tuesday.
Because he was running for Senate. I mean, no, he's running for president.
Right.
He's made both gaffes. He said, "Hi, my name is Joe Biden. I'm running for Senate. Yeah. And vote for me on Super Thursday."
Yeah. And a number of people showed up 2 days late for it. But
yeah,
the important thing is that it appears Joe Biden is the nominee for the Democrats.
He's the front runner. Ticket. I mean, it's going to be a contested convention. You know, it's going to be one of those rare things that happens. And but right now, he's back from the grave.
Yeah.
He's dead man walking for a while, but now he's back.
And as I mentioned, he's known for his gaffes. And this particular clip we pulled off of a YouTube just, I think, this morning. And boy, is this a gaffe? I guess that's my question. Is this a gaffe or is this revealing VP Biden's worldview? That's the question here. I want you to judge for yourself, friends. This is Joe Biden and a recent gaffe.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go. You know the thing.
There you go.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
There it is.
All men and women created by go. You know the thing.
Now that is classic Joe Biden.
That is not a gaffe, however.
That's not a gaffe. No, he realized he was into the mud pretty deep, and he was not willing to concede that there was a creator. He did not want to concede that we were all created by our creator and endowed by our creator with these particular rights, as quoted from the Declaration of Independence.
I just have to play it one more time, Kevin.
All right, here it is one more time.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing.
It's kind of hard to believe the man would be elected president of the United States,
yeah.
given the quantity, sheer magnitude of the gaffes and the quantity of them.
But again, I don't think this was a gaffe. I think he realized that if he used the creator, he would alienate a great number of his base, and they would come after him. Somebody would call him in on the carpet for that one. But this is not unusual. This is indicative of the secularism of our culture. But if Joe Biden is often campaigning on, you know, we want to continue the Obama Biden legacy kind of thing. Well, he did with this one because several years ago, here's exactly what President Obama said in a speech.
Yeah. So play a little piece of this.
We didn't always get along, but over the centuries, what eventually bound us together. What made us all Americans was not a matter of blood. It wasn't a matter of birth. It was faith and fidelity to the shared values that we all hold so dear. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed with certain inalienable rights.
Oops, stop for just a moment.
Yes.
Endowed by who with
yes.
certain inalienable rights?
Endowed by whom, Mr. President?
Mm-hmm.
And now, some people are going to say, well, it was just a slip of his memory, a slip of the tongue. No, he's reading from a teleprompter.
He's betraying his worldview.
Yes.
And his worldview,
just as Joe Biden did 2 days ago.
His worldview does not allow for a creator, certainly not a creator in the public sphere. And friends, this massive separation of the sacred and secular, this forbidding on the part of the Supreme Court of the United States to mention the creator in any kind of a public forum is the religion of the day. This is atheism is the religion of the day, or deism, or at least to a very great extent, the ignoring of the creator. And this is where Americans are. Americans have been taught in 12, no, make that 18 years of public school education, that it is illegal for you to mention the creator, even if he was mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this next on the Generations broadcast. The obliteration of the creator is essential in the American mind because the American public schools do not allow the creator or anything about the creation to be mentioned in public school classrooms in America. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, we have an urgent request for you. We are jumping on an opportunity to serve Jesus in one of the most practical and most needful opportunities of a lifetime. Christian families and churches are often looking to get out of their holy huddles and put feet to their faith. What about helping with the Rebuild Bahamas for Jesus project spearheaded by Generations? Is there a contractor in your church who can lead a team for us? Would you like to join another team already planning a trip? Just get to Fort Lauderdale and it's a 30-minute flight to the Grand Bahama. No big deal. We have the materials, the tools, the accommodations ready to facilitate the next team. And one more question. If you cannot help yourself, do you know somebody who can? Check out our website now to join a team or provide your own team. Go to RebuildBahamasForJesus.org. That's RebuildBahamasForJesus.org. And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. We are endowed by our, you know, the thing.
You know, the thing, whatever
it was.
You know what that thing is.
And you do know it's the highest heresy to mention the Creator in the public's forum. And that's exactly what Joe Biden almost did as he was running for President of the United States. And trying to be a good example for the rest of the class, seeing as the official American religion is to avoid all mention of God, and the fear of God, the reverence of God, is absolutely forbidden unless you're taking his name in vain or drawing him in some tertiary way to invoke some kind of a blessing. But again, it's only done for the sake of those who might still believe in him.
Yeah, it's a tip of the hat to those who they're trying to get to vote for their policies, which are totally atheistic and secular.
All right, so
God bless America, they always end with.
So, friends, it's important for you to understand that the heritage of this nation begins with the New England Primer, A, in Adam's Fall, We Sinned All. That's where it all began, with A. That was the very first. It began with A in Adam's Fall, We Sinned All. And so there was something of an acknowledgement of the Word of God. It was something of a obliteration of the sacred-secular distinction when it came to American curriculum. They kept that primer for 150 years in 1777. They added pictures. So, friends, you're looking at a heritage that went on for a very long time. John Adams, the president of the United States, not at that time, but he was sitting next to Benjamin Rush in the Continental Congress. And you do remember the conversation that went on. This is in David McAuliffe's book on John Adams. But they had that conversation, and Benjamin Rush asked John Adams, "Do you think that we could win this conflict against the greatest power on earth?" And I'll never forget the answer that was given. John Adams said, "If we fear God and repent of our sins, we will win." At that time, of course, the President of the United States still wasn't very much deist. He still somewhat believed in the fear of God. He believed that God was relevant, that God was sovereign in the actions of empires, and that God would bring about a blessing upon the nation or his judgment upon a nation, depending a great deal upon whether or not this nation was willing to humble themselves before Almighty God, fear God, and keep his commandments. That was big for hundreds of years, and then up until 1844, do remember that in 1844, a secularist by the name of Girard, and he was the chairman of the American Bank, the National Bank, which thankfully Andrew Jackson put the kibosh on, but this guy was a Frenchman who came into America, an atheist, and he wanted the first atheist school established in Philadelphia, but the state of Pennsylvania said, ain't going to happen, and it was appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States. In 1844, the Supreme Court came down with the decision. I read it to you just a little earlier, and 3 points were made. First, absolutely, the Word of God must be read in American public school classrooms because it is the truth of Almighty God. Secondly, America is a Christian nation. And thirdly, Pennsylvania has declared itself to be a Christian state for these three reasons. No. Girard will not have his will, and there will be no secular school in America in 1844. So things have changed since then, but that is the heritage of the nation, the most God-blessed nation on earth. And I'm thankful for that, Bill, but it all began with the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. That men feared God back then. I know they don't fear God now. They don't recognize a creator now, but they feared God back then.
It's interesting because 1844 is about the time that George Jacob Holyoake coined the term secularism. He wanted to draw Christians and non-Christians into a neutral ground. He wanted to form an ethical society without religion. And he failed, just like Girard failed. He failed miserably in his lifetime. However, if he were to come back to life today and walk the halls of any of our institutions, including many of our churches, he would discover he succeeded far beyond his wildest imaginations.
He would be impressed. However, there is one leader in America who still fears God, at least one. I'm sure there's six or seven others. But there is one, a senator in Indiana by the name of Dennis Cruz, who attempts to introduce a creationism bill every other year or so. He's done it six times. And you remember the guy. I mean, there has been the controversy come out since the 1990s. In fact, you and I were drawn into a debate on this very issue. Remember whether creationism should be taught in public schools. We were on Channel 12. Wasn't it Channel 12?
It was. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Bill Jack and Kevin Swanson were in a debate against some evolutionists. It was intense. It was intense.
We got sideswiped because we walked into something and it was a setup.
It was, but the host was pretty upset with us at the end. He walked away from the whole thing. You remember that? But anyway, it all comes around whether or not creationism should be taught in American schools. But this is the highest heresy of the day, and the Supreme Court of the United States has stated it to be so. But this guy has attempted it six times. It was shot down again last year. You know, so it's not as if the president of the United States, Donald Trump, is helping matters.
Well, that's a state issue.
When it comes to these things. And it is a state issue, but it's also a Supreme Court issue. The reason it gets shot down, it turns out, is because of Edwards Aguillard of 1987, the Supreme Court decision. Are you aware of the decision, Bill? I want to read some of the language that came out of it.
Yeah, I think it was a decision that was started or the result of the attempt to bring in creation to the secular schools. And to bring it in as an alternative perspective to teach both models, am I correct?
Exactly. In fact, it was sort of attempting to be fair,
as
Dennis Cruz also attempts to be fair. He's just simply saying, let's allow for it if somebody has the guts to stand up and say, I fear God,
and we were created and given
certain rights by our Creator. If they want to have the guts to stand up and quote the Declaration of Independence, he wanted to give them the right to do that, but that's not happening.
It's not going to happen because secularists control the pulpit, and you're not going to stand in their pulpit and proclaim something that they consider to be a heresy. Just as you would not give your pulpit to the atheist to proclaim his heresy, they're not going to allow you or me or any teacher who holds to a biblical view to announce that or proclaim that or even posit that as an alternative to the scripture of the day, which is evolution.
For the same reason that a Muslim imam probably would not allow me to preach the gospel or from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John from his pulpit at a local mosque.
They wouldn't allow a rabbi to do that either.
Absolutely. They don't allow that sort of thing in the public schools or in mosques. So friends, please understand that the radically anti-God, naturalistic, materialistic worldview perspective is the religion taught in American public schools. So at some point, somebody's got to stand up and say, I think that this is a different religion. And that's exactly what we're saying here. And the Supreme Court of the United States has said that in this decision. Here's the quote from Edwards Aguillard of 1987, Louisiana's Creation Act. They were actually going after the Creationism Act that was passed by the Louisiana legislature.
Right.
The Louisiana's Creationism Act forbids the teaching of the theory of evolution in public elementary and secondary schools unless accompanied by instruction on the theory of creation science. The act does not require the teaching of either theory unless the other is taught. It defines the theories as the scientific evidences for creation or evolution and inferences from those scientific evidences. Now, here's the ruling. Okay, so that was the case. The ruling was effectively this, of course, this will never happen in American public schools. Quote, the act is facially invalid as violative of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution because it lacks a clear secular purpose. In other words, secularism is the religion.
Yeah.
And if this particular act does not forward the clear secular purpose of American public schools, it is prima facie out of order.
But wait. the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment? Well, you know what the First Amendment says? It says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Upon whom is the limitation? It is not on the states. Mm. It is not on the individual school districts. It is only on Congress. And yet we have seen the Leviathan of the federal government encroach upon even the local school districts' decisions and even at the state level. I mean, at the time of the passing of the First Amendment, 9 of the 13 colonies had tax-supported, yes, tax-supported state churches. So they didn't have a problem with religion in politics.
Yeah, but Bill, at this point, you have to understand that the United States of America has become a major empire and a massively centralized state that has obliterated states' rights and at this point has declared itself to be anti-God and has declared itself as a nation to be a secular humanistic nation. That's precisely what the Supreme Court of the United States is saying here, that this act concerning creation lacks a clear secular purpose. The official worldview of America is secular knowledge. There is secular knowledge and there is sacred knowledge, as Aquinas told us, but never the twain shall meet. There is a absolute divide between sacred and secular in the mind of Aquinas and others, and you cannot use sacred knowledge to establish a basis for secular knowledge. And that, my friends, is the American religion. That is what is taught in American public schools and many American Christian schools as well. And well, our textbooks for the Christian Curriculum Project, just the opposite, friends. If you want a Christian discipleship approach to education, if you want to bring back the beginning of wisdom and knowledge as the fear of God, and if you want to bring back the integration of God's word into our children's education as a frontlet before their eyes, as is taught in Deuteronomy 6:7, then I would encourage you to check out our curriculum. Our textbooks do just the opposite of what the Supreme Court of the United States is telling the public schools to do. We do just the opposite. We disobey the Supreme Court of the United States in their instruction to the public schools in America. We are clearly in disobedience to the worldview and the religion taught by the Supreme Court of the United States. Our textbooks blends the sacred into every part of the secular, and we do not distinguish. Secular humanism, materialism, evolutionism is supposed to be the neutral subject. God or the Bible is the bias in these guys' minds. And that's what they're saying here. There is an assumption that the facts are completely neutral, as interpreted by completely neutral, fair-minded minds of great, intelligent, secular people, and the facts are not judged by presuppositions. That's just a pretense in order to suck everybody else into the pretense. And when Christians buy into this neutrality, they send their kids off to these public schools, they wonder why their kids become evolutionists, materialists, and atheists.
I tell my students in my political science class down at the Worldview at the Abbey that all of the readings that they're doing in our utopia class, the attempt is to put man's reason above God's revelation. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court just ruled in that what you read. And that is man's reason trumps revelation. So there can be no place in a secular school for the Creator.
Again, this is this decision that the Supreme Court of the United States handed down on the Louisiana Act that would have required creationism to be taught in connection with evolution in American public schools. And this is what, again, the Supreme Court said. It does not enhance the freedom of teachers to teach what they choose and fails to further the goal of, quote, teaching all of the evidence. Forbidding the teaching of evolution when creation science is not also taught undermines the provision of a comprehensive scientific education. Ergo, anything related to a creationist presupposition in our understanding of geology and the rest is does not qualify as comprehensive scientific education. The act impermissibly endorses religion by advancing the religious belief that a supernatural being created humankind. So that's the heresy. Again, friends, the Supreme Court of the United States has come down to the ultimate heresy. The ultimate heresy is to teach a religious belief that a supernatural being created humankind. That's what this decision came down to. Impermissibly endorses religion by advancing the religious belief that a supernatural being created mankind. And that, my friends, is the highest heresy in the United States of America. All public schools in America do not allow for the possibility that a supernatural being created mankind, and that has been determined by the Supreme Court of the United States. So that's the issue. That's the rub. The rub is that you're not allowed to assume or to teach or to even mention the possibility that a supreme supernatural being created mankind. See, this is the cutting off of any concept of God in the public school classrooms as absolutely required by the Supreme Court of the United States. And I doubt that this will be reversed anytime too soon, Bill.
No. Because I would say that I'm going to take a different approach on that, and it is that you're not in rebellion. The Supreme Court is in rebellion. The Supreme Court is in rebellion to true authority, which comes from God. You are in line with and obedient to true authority. It's the Supreme Court that has stepped out from the authority of the Word of God and is now demanding allegiance to Caesar rather than to God. And that's why we as Christians are always obedient to true authority. And true authority comes from God. It doesn't come from the Supreme Court.
Well, we are advancing a curriculum that is based on a biblical worldview, on a Christian presuppositional base. And friends, that curriculum is available at our website, generations.org. It is a radically committed curriculum to God's word as a frontlet before our children's eyes. Bill, I think the time has come that we just need to do exactly the opposite of what the Supreme Court of the United States is telling us. We need to present the Creator on every page. We need to encourage, as we teach science, the wonder of God, the awesomeness of God. I've just completed the sixth grade and completing the fifth grade science for our Christian discipleship curriculum. And Bill, we call it God made the world and God made animals. Why? Because we want to submit to God. We want to believe that the fear of God, and we want to start with the fear of God being the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and the wonder of God, the awesomeness of God on every page, in every hour of the teaching. The purpose of science needs to be plain in front of our children all the time. We are created in the image of God with the ability to discover God's creation and with a mandate to discover God's creation. We are not cosmic dust floating around the universe of pure chance. We are created in the image of God with the potential, with the ability to know and to discover God's creation. Proverbs 25 and verse 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the honor of kings to find it out. That's a key verse that we bring into the science curriculum. We want our children to understand on every page there is a purpose for what they're doing. They're not just learning random facts that have hardly been established by scientists who are engaged in nothing but guesswork. No. We want our children to understand that we understand the creation with a certain form of certainty that is based upon the revelation of God's word. So this becomes a certain foundation for what we are discovering. And we want them to know the purpose of the study to be worship and dominion. There's a reason for what they're doing. There's a reason for why we're created. And as they're studying this, they begin to understand something of the omnipotence of God, the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God, the wisdom of God, the omniscience of God. That we want our children to so be amazed at this Creator that they increase in their wonder, their love, and their awe, and their worship of their Creator. So we just want our children to know that there is an eternal purpose, an infinitely important purpose for studying God's world, because we're learning about God. We're learning about the Creator. So you separate the Creator from the creation, and you lose 99% of the purpose of the study of science. Does that make sense, Bill? I mean, you pull out the Creator. Now there's no reason to stand in awe. There's no reason to stand in wonder. There's no reason to worship, because you've pulled the Creator out of the material. The Creator needs to be mentioned on every page, because our children should never get to the point like, this science is boring. There's no reason why I'm doing this. No, the reason you're doing it is to seeing to God be the glory, great things He has done. The reason you're doing this is to worship God, to stand in awe of God, to be in wonder of God and his creation. And then the second thing is that God commands us to take dominion of his creation. He wants us to take dominion, make proper use of it for our own use. And we want to submit ourselves to his law in our investigations and our use of his creation. We don't want to violate the eighth commandment, the sixth commandment. We don't want to be, taking use of his creation the wrong sort of way, experimenting with stem cells that have been taken from aborted babies and sort of thing. We don't want to be violating God's law in our investigation of his creation, but we do want to be making good use of it, discovering the uses that God has hidden in his creation for the use of mankind. So all of this is a radically different approach to science than what you find in your typical science books. Humility, the fear of God, essential, as we've already said. Listen to Robert Boyle, the founder of modern chemistry. He says, when in a word, by the help of knives and the light of chemical furnaces, I study the book of nature, I find myself oftentimes reduced to exclaim with the psalmist, how manifold are thy works, O Lord! In wisdom hast thou made them all. That's the founder of chemistry. Listen to the founder of modern physics, Isaac Newton. This is what he says. The most beautiful system of the sun, the planets, the comets could only proceed from the counsel and the dominion of an intelligent, powerful being. This being governs all things, not as the soul of the world, but as the Lord over all. And on account of his dominion, he is wont to be called Lord God, universal ruler of all. That's Isaac Newton. You see, the fear of God, essential to anybody who's done anything as important, significant in this field of science. And humility is the other aspect of this, so important. We have to encourage our students on a daily basis to the humility and to the fear of God. Listen to Albert Einstein said again, significant scientist, but would never have discovered these things, I don't think, without this perspective. Albert Einstein, I do not share the crusading spirit of the professional atheist, whose fervor is mostly due to a painful lack or act of liberation from the fetters of religious indoctrination received in youth. I prefer an attitude of humility corresponding to the weakness of our intellectual understanding of nature and of our own being. So you see the essential nature of the character of humility and fear of God in the context of studying science. So friends, don't ever teach science without the wonder of God, the worship of God, the word of God, the truth of God, the source of knowledge conveyed on every page in every hour of the teaching, or you will raise a secular kid, a humanist kid, a kid who will grow up and be like Joe Biden, who will not want to acknowledge the Creator. Without the humility, without the fear of God, your children will turn into bad scientists. They'll draw the wrong conclusions in the area of geology, environmentalism, genetic engineering, and so forth. They'll do more damage to themselves and to their society. They'll turn themselves into a Frankenstein and then create more Frankensteins. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Friends, I encourage you to a radically different approach to the teaching of science. We must teach it from the perspective of the fear of God, the worship of God, and the need for taking dominion over God's world, because that's what God has assigned us to do. This constitutes a radically different worldview, a radically different religion, a radically different faith, and a radically different science than what you are taught in the public schools. I encourage you to our curriculum at our website, generations.org. We have an upcoming massive curriculum sale that will initiate towards the end of March. So stay tuned and check out our website at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.